It's such a privilege to speak to people who've gone through stuff with Jesus, you know, and they learn the hard way. And sometimes it takes a shocking thing to stop you in your tracks and get you back to the heart of the one that sometimes you lose your focus on. So Darren Staines is someone that's gone through exactly that. Darren, hello. How are you doing?
Good day. Well, thank you and self.
Thank you. Before we get to your accident, let's just introduce you as a person, your family, the wife, the kids, what you do for a living. Just, you know, put us in the picture.
Basically, I am a chicken farmer in or just outside of Benoni. I have a wife and one son, and we live on a farm. Also, I am the missions director at House of the Lord in Benoni and been involved in missionary work probably now for about 35 odd years. Sure. So, yes, it's been a long walk with the Lord and absolutely blessed to be a part of His work.
So you've been in missions for a long time. So tell me, when you went through your accident, you were a Christian then?
Yes, most definitely. I gave my heart to the Lord in 1976. Gives away a little bit of my age. But yes, 1976, I was blessed to come to meet the Lord there, and I've walked with Him ever since.
All right. So let's go to the day of this accident, because that was one of those Selah moments, stop in your tracks moments, and see what God is doing now kind of thing. It's funny how you find out what you believe when you go through stuff you've got no control over. So let's start with that day. What happened?
Basically, that morning, which was 26 April 2019, I was heading out to the chickens to go and feed them. And the previous day, we'd actually had a power cable which runs across my property that came down. And the guys were going to come that morning early and come and restring this cable for us. And I was standing looking on the actual line that this cuts through my property, and there was this one tree that was leaning quite heavily over the path of where this cable would be strung. So I looked at this thing, and I thought, you know, this tree should come down. It's just going to pull down this new cable, which is just wrong to, you know, let the guys string a new cable, and in a couple of months' time, it gets pulled down and destroyed again. So I sat and I thought, well, let's wait till the guys get here and just confirm it with them, and then if need be, we can quickly just cut this tree down. And so we just chop it at the base and let it drop, and we'll drag it and move it out the way later on. Any case, so the guys arrived and they had a look, and this tree is going to come down within a very short period, so let's rather take it down now. I went to go and fetch the chainsaw and back to the tree. That was the last sort of few minutes that day and the next few days that I actually remember. But basically what happened, from everyone that has explained to me after the event, I went and I cut this tree down. And as cutting it, we got about halfway through the main cut. Tree is almost ready to fall, and we hit a weak spot within the center of the trunk of the tree. This caused the tree to actually break and, let's put it this way, in short, go wrong. As it broke and went wrong, it hit me in the head and I landed face down on the floor. And the next thing, this tree of round about 20 tons, approximately 35 meters high, landed square on top of me and knocked me as a piece of wood onto a stump that was sticking out the ground, knocking a hole through my chest approximately fist size.
What?
Yeah, it really was hectic. I thank the Lord, and the Lord is so gracious, have no recollection of this trauma as such. So I do afterwards know about everything, being the pain and everything that I had at that time, but no recollection of any of this damage whatsoever. The same time that morning, my wife and son, he had a friend here at the time as well, and they just realized something wasn't right, because I wasn't due to get the chainsaw out that day, nothing. So when my wife went to go and look, she saw the tree lying down, and didn't see me, saw the guys from the council here, but couldn't see me anywhere, and realized something was wrong. I believe that was the Holy Spirit just prompting her that there's problems, you need to pray.
Okay, sorry, I'm just curious here. The guys from the council, they must have seen the tree fall on you. Were they standing there looking at you or what?
Apparently they were in such shock that they stood there for a few minutes watching this and then suddenly realized, no, we need to get an ambulance here.
Okay.
And came strolling across to the house to tell my wife, listen, there's problems, get an ambulance.
Wow.
But the guy was actually in such shock. I actually met him about 2 years later again. He came here and he thought he saw a ghost. Because I stood there and I was standing chatting to him. He says, I cannot believe that you're alive. I remember that day so clearly.
Sure.
But then from there, my wife went into absolute panic mode. My son called the medics and he went out to the scene and saw the blood everywhere and me pegged to the ground. And basically, they arranged with the guys with the truck. It had a crane on the back of it, which was also a blessing that that was there, because they were able to lift this tree off of me at the time. A medics got there. They looked, and the two of the medics are very close friends of mine. And the one guy said to my wife, it does not look good, but we're praying. Any case, so they load me into the ambulance and they do a medical check to see, you know, how good or bad the situation is. And at that point in time, I scored the lowest possible score that you could get, which was basically on the line of dead. And they loaded me in and decided, well, we've got to rush. They ideally wanted to take me via helicopter, but having no medical aid, that wasn't an option. So they took me through to the hospital, which is about a 40-minute drive from the farm. And the one medic said to my wife, get in the car with me. You're coming in the response car. And he took her and he went and he drove behind the ambulance all the way. And the whole way there, he just said, let's pray. And they prayed for 40 minutes. He knew at that time that things were very bad. Any case, so we get to the hospital, and in the hospital they go and they take me into the trauma room and try and resus me and everything. And about 2 hours later, they came out and said to my wife, okay, they've got me semi-stable, but they can give no diagnosis as yet because there's too much swelling on the brain. And at that point, my wife said to the doctor, what about the hole in the chest? Now, just going back to when we left the farm, at that stage, we had a lot of family and friends and our pastor and everyone that came out to the farm and were just interceding and praying. And as the ambulance left and these people watched, my mom prayed and said, Lord, I thank you for the healing of that chest and lung. Any case, coming through to the doctor now, she says, my wife says to the doctor, yeah, what about this hole? And the doctor looked at her and said to her, what hole? There's no hole in his chest.
What?
And that was one of the first miracles that took place, is that this chest was totally closed and restored. Then from there, they took me in and did all sorts of tests and everything. And basically that Friday night, around about midnight, the doctors still couldn't get me stable, so they decided that there must be some form of internal bleeding or something, so they're going to operate. Performed an emergency operation around about midnight to check and found nothing wrong. So closed up everything and then just said, well, it's now a waiting game. Let's just see what happens over the next day or so before they try and administer anything. That same Friday, just tracking back a little bit, The family, my folks, my brother, everyone family-wise was at the hospital, plus a lot of friends and our pastor and so forth were all there. And my brother managed to get into the room where they were working on me. He said there were so many people that he couldn't actually get any closer than to reach out and touch my foot. And he stood there and he said, "Father, your word says that if we lay our hands on the sick, they will be healed." And he walked out there, and that was all he could do. He walked out and he said to my mom, "Darren will be home on Tuesday." And he said, "That's it." And any case, so the next few days we moved through trauma room to ICU to high care. And then on the Sunday, I came out of the coma. And I woke up around about lunchtime on Sunday. Had no idea of what, where, when, why, how, nothing like that. It was all an absolute shock to me of why I was in this place and in this state. Any case, my folks had just come through and everything. And we'd had visiting hours and I was lying in the bed. It was probably, I would say, about half an hour after visiting hours, and I was lying there, but I was in absolute agony in my chest. And obviously the area of the operation. And as I was lying there, my eyes were closed, and the next thing I felt these two hot, hot, hot hands rest on my chest. And all of a sudden I opened my eyes and I said to the guy next to me, I said, "Who is here now?" And he looked at me, said to me, "No, no one was here. Visiting hours ended about half an hour ago." And I knew at that stage, because as I realized that there was no one there, I realized there was no more pain within my chest.
Oh, wow. Sure.
And from there, we just experienced miracle upon miracle upon miracle happening the whole time on the recovery. Any case, so one of the other things that during the time period that I was actually in the coma, apparently my folks and everyone was there and they came and they'd speak to me, and I have no recollection of any of that discussion from them at all. But what I do remember is there was a sister in the hospital. Now, part of my missionary work is in rural Swaziland and that, and a lot of praise and worship songs sang in Siswati and Zulu. I know the words and the songs. And distinctly, I remember this lady singing praise and worship as she was working in the wards. And I could hear that. And that was the only thing. I would hear the heart monitor, and I would hear her praise and worship. And I knew at that stage I was in a presence of God. And it just gave me such a peace at that time that I could feel and hear her praise and worship. And then when they moved me to the general ward, there was another lady that also sang there. And I never saw her, but I heard her. And she would always sing praise and worship songs there. And to me, again, that was just one of the major comforts while lying there and recovering from this accident. Then, yes, as my brother said, on the Tuesday morning, I was discharged. Yeah. And again, they're just an absolute miracle from being crushed by a 20-ton tree and literally 4 days later discharged from hospital and sent home for recovery. Getting home, we then I basically was able to walk, but it was a painstaking exercise. And walking literally from the bedroom to the lounge would take me approximately 15 minutes to get there. And that would have to be with the help of someone assisting on the walk and everything like that. And I eventually moved through the one day. It was quite early in the recovery period. I moved through to the lounge, and I was sitting there. And basically, in the lounge for the next, I think it was around about 6 weeks, I was able to lie on the couch, pray, read the word, listen to praise and worship, or watch DVDs. We don't have TV or anything like that that we could watch, and the TV was too old to link to internet, so there wasn't any of that stuff. But in that time period, I was just sitting there the one day, and I just said, Lord, why has this happened to me? And the Lord said to me distinctly that day, he said, firstly, I have this in my hands. I have control over this, and I have you in my hands. And I just knew from that time that I needed to just go the path and walk the path with the Lord. And in that recovery period was probably the most testing time for me, because here I'm lying on a couch and I'm watching my business that I'd built up on this farm, which was with the chickens and that, which was a thriving business, literally disappear under my feet without the ability to do anything. I wasn't allowed near the chickens. I relied upon some people to actually monitor and manage the chickens. But with their lack of knowledge, it was not working, and the chickens were literally dying by the hundreds each day. And I just watched, and I realized at this point, it's no longer me, but God that is in control. And I had to make that mind shift to step away, let go, and let God take control. And in that time period, the only verse that kept coming to mind was, be still and know that I am God. And eventually I went in and I started researching that. And the word be still comes from, I think it was the Greek, it's a Greek or Hebrew, meaning Rapha, which means to let go, loosen your grip. And that's literally what I had to do, is I had to loosen my grip on this farm and trust God. And he will take control. And 5 years down the line, looking back now, I am absolutely astonished at how God has taken control. He's carried us through everything. He's literally supplied our finances to us. We no longer farm chickens at the moment. And yes, just being able to trust and rely on him in such a way and see how he provides our every need is so amazing. It's just so awesome to see and to trust God for everything and know that he will fulfill that. And that was probably my biggest takeaway from this accident, is to know that no matter what, God is in control. And he's got us in the palm of his hand, and he just carries us through day by day.
Ah, Darren, I'm hoping that hearing your story today will help someone who's in it. I mean, you've got the advantage of looking back, but people are in it right now, and having to trust this invisible God, trust that he is good and that he does love you and that he is sovereign and almighty and that he knows what's going on. And that's sometimes very hard while you're in it. So I'm praying that your story today will just give someone hope that God's got this, and that they're safe and underneath are his everlasting arms. Thank you for sharing up. I truly appreciate it.
Only a pleasure. And yes, I must stand in agreement with you there, that I truly believe that this testimony is going to be someone's strength to carry them through. And it's not because of me, I'm no one, but because of our Father that we serve. And just to reassure them that it might look absolutely grim right now, but God is in control, and we need to just trust and hold on, and he will carry us through.